prepare thyself. It's Big News Wednesday. Welcome everyone to another day here at the Damage Report. I'm John Arola, and as always on Wednesdays, we're joined by the host, the leader of the watch list, and those who watch the list, Jer Jackson. How's it going?
Oh, I'm watching. I am watching. What's going on, you guys? Happy Big News Wednesday. Always. You never know what's happening. As a matter of fact, I have a new a thought that I'm going to develop here. Actually always watching. I may just be uploading new shorts to the watch list channel on YouTube.
Oh.
Of things that I recognize out in the wild in Los Angeles. That's all I'm gonna give. That's just the general thing. It gets more specific, but I won't tell you yet. It's in development.
Yeah. You know what I would have done for the watch list? We were just talking about merch. I would have done something about Jer checking his list and checking it twice or whatever.
That's good.
Finding out which people out there are naughty and nice. Could have had a good sweater.
Damn.
Anyway, maybe next Christmas. Okay, so we've got a lot of news that we're gonna be talking about. Not only votes that are apparently impending. I keep checking to see if this what their timeline is going to be for the NDAA, but it doesn't look like it's happened yet. But anyway, we're going to be talking about that vote. We're going to be talking about the 2024 election. Joe Biden, we found something he's a wee bit sensitive about, apparently. So we're going to be talking about that. And we've got TikTok, use it while you can, could soon be gone, we don't know. And then in the aftermath, we've got a jam-packed massive meanwhile in. We're going to be touching on news from around the world on a bunch of different topics. We might even talk about some video games and the addiction thereof. And for once, I'm not talking about myself. So anyway, there's a lot to look forward to. Please hit the like button. I know. Well, I wanted to save this story for you because I know you have a son who has been known to play a game or two from time to time. I'm gonna eventually figure out how to get the spot off.
I feel like you're talking about me too in a way.
Are you? Would you consider yourself addicted to video games?
Well, no, if
stay tuned,
I had
everyone, and find out.
Yeah, if I had the opportunity, maybe.
Okay, well, we're gonna dive into that. So hit the like button, share the stream if you haven't already. If you want to send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, JR Jackson, how would you like to start the show?
Okay, fine.
Okay, I guess we'll do it. Let's talk about the Arctic, long known as the Earth's big cold wet boy. I don't want you to worry about the big part. Still big. It's actually wetter than ever, but cold, not necessarily so much. NOAA has put out their Arctic program report card, and I know you probably wait every year for it to be released like I do. But no, really, there's some scary stuff in it this year. And I just want to take a minute. I know that we're all focused on, like, Trump is doing stuff and it is scary and DeSantis is awful. Totally, I get that. And Tucker Carlson's a literal fascist on TV. That's true. But also the Arctic kind of not in a great spot. And so they say that the once reliably frigid and frozen Arctic is becoming wetter, nice, and stormier, with shifts in its climate and seasons that are forcing local communities, wildlife, and ecosystems to adapt. And I know what you're thinking. I know that it's in bad shape. Yes, that's good. You clearly watch the show, but do you know how bad of shape it is? So between October 2021 and September, air temperatures above Arctic lands were the sixth warmest since 1900. You might think, well, that could be worse. Yeah, but could it really? Because the seven warmest years have been the last 7 years. And I'm not a scientist, okay? Although I have worked with them. That's not good though. I don't think you need a doctorate to know that you're not supposed to have that clear of a pattern. And yes, it is a pattern. We can acknowledge that here on TYT, although other news networks seem to have a very difficult time figuring that out. And this is consequential. Rising temperatures have helped plants, shrubs, and grasses grow in parts of the Arctic tundra. Bear in mind, they're not supposed to do that in these places. 2022 saw levels of green vegetation that were the fourth highest since 2000. Precipitation levels have increased significantly in the Arctic since the mid-20th century. This year was the region's third wettest since 1950, clearly a year in which Ben Shapiro didn't visit. But anyway, this might be good news for people who like a nice walk in the rain, or maybe for farmers who want to develop the Arctic, but this is not how it's supposed to work. And in some cases, individual events are making history too. A September heat wave in Greenland caused the most severe melting of the island's ice sheet for that time of the year in over 4 decades of continuous satellite monitoring. So I've never seen anything like this before. Last year, an August heat wave caused it to rain at the ice sheet summit for the first time. It's not supposed to be able to do that. And this is having a lot of other effects. So we're gonna really zoom in and take a look at how this is affecting actual people's lives and animals' lives as well. But JR, what do you think?
Well, the first question, or at least the first thought comes is, so how do we stop this? What is the source? Of course, we know the overdevelopment of so many things we do and ignore how much our politicians and people in power ignore the problem. So those minds aren't necessarily being changed swiftly enough, let's say, to mitigate this damage, or at least slow it down or calm it down or cease it about where it is, which again will take some more time. It's already flowing, right? So next question, at least in my mind, is so how do we survive? What's next? Because we know the next the consequences of this happening, because people may say, who cares? Nobody lives in the Arctic. Who cares if there's green shrubbery growing? That affects everything. So once it does, which we're ignoring and scientists have told us, in fact, people who deny it also know as well, what's the plan? People with money and power and influence and positions to do something don't have much of a problem, because who cares? We're better than everyone else. How about the folks who have to live in areas and in climates and environments that are hard to live in? Mm-hmm. That's the next step. How do we figure this whole thing out? Because we've also heard some people say, you know, in this capitalistic society that we have, getting a hold on control over water and the sale of it is something people and companies might want to look forward to. They know this is going to be a problem.
And look, bear in mind, there are people who live there now, and we're going to talk about them in a bit. I would say the plan for those in power now, looking ahead to, you know, 2075 or something, I think their plan is to have been dead for 50 years. I think that's their plan, and thereby to not be affected by any of this. I think that is their actual plan. I know some will say, hey, well, I know, JR, you were just talking on your show about the nuclear fusion, which I will admit is a good development, but probably not going to save us in time. Thankfully, we're not going to go in depth in this. We talk about it often. We have all of the technologies we need to stop this. We just don't necessarily yet have the will, and that hopefully is something we can work on. But I do want to talk about some of the people who are already being affected by this in the Arctic. So, for instance, and it's sort of sucks that this is the first NOAA weather report that's actually, or Arctic report that's actually gone into this, but they finally have included observations from indigenous Alaskan communities about how the changes in the Arctic over the past few decades have affected the way that they live and especially hunt. They say the sea ice retreat forced hunters to travel as far as 100 miles from their homes to find walruses during the spring harvest. The thinning of sea ice has also made seal hunting dangerous in some communities. Obviously, you can't necessarily trust the ice below you. Indigenous hunters have doubled the number of days spent hunting bowhead whales in open water. And so having to go farther and stay out longer in more dangerous circumstances to be able to continue the traditional hunting practices and culinary practices that they've had. And along the way, animals being affected too. The report goes into substantial die-offs of seabirds, ducks, puffins due to starvation and low sea ice in the area. They talk about terrestrial mammals as well that are being wiped out. It's affecting a lot of animal species. And look, overall, as JR alluded to, I think caring about what happens in the Arctic for the Arctic's sake should be enough, but you know, it's Earth, so that's not gonna work. So what you need to know, regardless of where you are around the world, is that warming at the top of the Earth will raise sea levels worldwide. It's not like you'll just travel to the Arctic and the water will be higher up there. That's not how it works. And the heating caused by this and the sea level increase caused by this will influence extreme weather events like heat waves and rainstorms, not just in the Arctic and not just along the coast. It will affect weather far inland as well. And by the way, the top line finding of this report is that the Arctic continues to warm more than twice as fast as the rest of the globe, with even greater warming in some locations and times of year. So bad that there are literal heat waves there. There are huge patches on fire at any given time. I had the privilege of being able to visit the Arctic and see some of this, see how little sea ice there was, you know, when there should have been far more, but it is getting worse and worse and worse. And unfortunately, not nearly enough politicians in positions of authority, especially here in the US, are taking it seriously. We had that like minor climate bill, but we need to push for far, far more.
Do people ever actually ask any of the politicians or the folks who push back on this whole thing and development of any kind of different energy sources, anything that would help this problem? After they deny that any of it's happening or you guys are lying, you're making money off of this, then ask, so as this is happening, because it's obvious, do you not believe that we see literally the difference between previous to now? What is it that you think will happen? Like anybody who denies what experts in the field say and have studied for decades are telling us and showing us, since they know better, ask them then, what is it that's wrong? What is it that you're gonna do? What is it that's really happening? It's easy to deny without having any answers as to what is it's happening. Because I haven't been to the Arctic like John Iadarola. I haven't been there and seen the devastating levels that are different. But people that study it are there, so I can ask them, or I don't even ask them, they tell us. And then afterwards, if you decide not to listen to them, then what is your solution then? What is your thought process? There's none there. It's just, eh, whatever. That's not based in any kind of reality.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we do have to deal with our reality. And so I want to turn now from the terrible situation up there to some of the leaders that we've been talking about. Despite promises that supposedly the Joe Manchin side pipeline permitting deal was not going to be given a vote with the Senate version of the National Defense Authorization Act, it's looking like no, that's actually not true. The Senate is going to vote on Manchin's permitting amendment to the defense spending bill. That was announced, again, remember, by the Democrats, because the Democrats are in control of the Senate. Chuck Schumer says, we're gonna vote on that amendment. As you know, Republicans have blocked it in the House, even though permitting reform is something that they've always supported in the past. So I hope they'll help us. Bear in mind, it's not in the House version. So in theory, if it passes in the Senate, they would then have to add it. They'd have to have a new version in the House and pass it there. And there doesn't yet look like a really good chance of that happening, but we still have to take this seriously because it didn't look like there was a good chance of it being voted on at all like a week ago. So we're gonna take this seriously. And in case you're not familiar with what this amendment is or why it's being added to the NDAA, let's fill in those blanks for you, because this is something we've been dealing with for some time. Manchin has announced that he's gonna put forward these policies, including faster timelines for environmental reviews, giving the federal government authority to direct electric transmission lines, and approving a natural gas pipeline in West Virginia. So that's gonna be added to the NDAA. Why to the NDAA? You as a reasonable person might say, well, that doesn't sound like it has anything to do with national defense. Bingo, but they're gonna do it anyway because that might pass and they really want this to pass. So, you know, peanut butter and chocolate or something. Anyway, people are rightly angry about this. Organizing group People Versus Fossil Fuels tweeted, this is abhorrent. We've stopped this twice now because it sells our communities and planet out for fossil fuel profits. If you haven't already, please take a minute to call your senator and ask them to vote against this. And they provide the phone number 888-997-5380. Feel free to rewind if you need to. We cannot afford any more fossil fuel projects. And there's a lot of reasons to have a problem with this amendment. I think I could get mad at almost any part of it, but the pipeline approval, the Mountain Valley Pipeline individually is enough. That's a non-starter. Cuts through nearly 1,000 streams and wetlands, but don't worry, it'll probably be the first pipeline in history to not leak or whatever. And in defense of this pipeline, with all of the environmental damage it'll cause in its construction and from the leaks, let alone the increased use of the fossil fuels there, spokesman for Mr. Manchin said that that pipeline will help bring down energy costs, shore up American energy security, and create jobs in West Virginia. An official in Mr. Schumer's office said the pipeline deal was only included at the insistence of Senator Manchin as part of any agreement related to this reconciliation bill. But like you don't have to pass it. Like he is just Manchin after all. And sure, will it create some jobs? Well, I guess theoretically they have to lay the pipe down and then not much, I'm assuming. We know how these pipelines go. They always make big grand claims about jobs are gonna be produced, and then it turns out it doesn't produce as many jobs as your average size Denny's. So cut the BS on that, it's not true. Shoring up American energy security, I need you, if you're new to American politics, to understand this. It's not like they put the oil in the pipeline, it goes through the pipeline, and then they bundle it up and give it to Americans. That's not how it works. It goes to the same places to be refined and then shipped to the global market. It has at best a very indirect effect on overall gas prices, let alone our own energy independence, because it isn't our energy as soon as they bottle it up. So bear that in mind. We're gonna talk a lot more about it, including why not only Manchin, but Schumer might have a slightly different motivation for wanting this pipeline to be approved. But JR, I know we have talked about this amendment and the package of things in it before. What do you think about what they've gotten there and the chance of it succeeding?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that motivation from Chuck Schumer there. But first of all, peanut butter and chocolate. Hey, yo, that sandwich might actually be bomb. You actually stumbled into something decent there, I think, when you said, what, like peanut butter and chocolate?
It is awesome.
But you said this like things that shouldn't go together. I thought that's
what you were going. No, it should. Okay, it should go together and often does for me.
That does happen. But also, there was a point in that whole thing. Again, the motivation behind this, Joe Manchin getting in his amendment, and they specifically point out for West Virginia jobs. They always say things like that. Jobs in Texas, jobs in Kansas, jobs in North Dakota. Hey, yo, I live in California. I live in Southern California. You know that bastion of liberalism and those damn Hollywood types that always want something. Maybe we want to stop with the wildfires. Maybe there's things we want to do to help with our lack of clean new sources of water. Things like that that happen. We have droughts all the time here, right? How much do other politicians in other states that are on the other side of the country go, well, that's gonna help produce more things for California, California jobs. It'll be a boom for this. And they go, who cares about California, those stupid libs out there? But we can't say, I don't give a damn about these West Virginia jobs that actually get 35 to 40 of them to continue to do more things to harm our environment because Joe effing Manchin wants to put in this new pipeline and look good for his political career. Yep. That's what we're concerning ourselves with. Joe Manchin providing something to West Virginia so that he can look good? Why do we give a damn about that? But they expect us to. But then we see wildfires happening out here, and what we get from many conservatives, specifically Donald Trump, when he was in office, is F those people in California and their wildfires. Maybe they should do something different out there. That's the problem. They suck. That's the things that are said about California when our issues come up, and it could be a national solution to it. When we get over there, it has to do with pipelines, the Keystone XL to Joe Manchin's West Virginia jobs, and all that happens. We're supposed to care. And if I say I don't give a damn about those jobs that need to be transitioned into new energy type of jobs, because those are jobs too, we're called horrible people and anti-American, but it's never the other way around. Why is that?
I've noticed that too. That is suspicious.
Weird.
Well, maybe I have an answer actually for that. Why don't we get into this right now? Why does Joe Manchin want this amendment, this pipeline permitting approval, whatever amendment so badly? Why is Chuck Schumer so dead set on giving him a vote, regardless of what ends up happening with it? Well, they would say it's about jobs or security or some other word that they've used in a focus group, and the focus group has been like, I guess that's good. But is that really why? Because it turns out behind the scenes, there might be a little bit more going on. For instance, did you know that while this bill does a lot of things, including drastically cutting down the statute of limitations for challenging projects once they've been approved, they hope to sneak it out before environmental activists or groups that might be affected can do anything about it. The main thing really is this Mountain Valley Pipeline project that Manchin has wanted approved in Appalachia. So here's an interesting little nugget for you. NextEra Energy, a utility giant and stakeholder in the Mountain Valley Pipeline, is a top donor to Mr. Manchin. You're not gonna be surprised to find that out. But did you know, also a big donor to Chuck Schumer of New York? Well, that's not even close to this pipeline. That's weird. Mr. Schumer has received more than $281,000 from NextEra just this election cycle. Equitrans Midstream, which owns the largest stake in the pipeline, has given more than $10,000 to Mr. Manchin. The pipeline and its owners have also spent heavily to lobby Congress. I mean, that is lobbying Congress, but they mean lobbying the House as well, giving money to a lot of different representatives. And so that's pretty interesting that they're giving $281,000 to let produce West Virginia jobs to the dude in New York that's never gonna even see that pipeline. That seems weird. That seems less like this is a corporation that's just a gee golly fan of Mr. Schumer, likes his positions and wants to reward him. You know, free speech stuff. and more like influence peddling. That's what it seems like to me, JR. It seems like they're buying the people they need in the state, but more importantly, the people in Senate leadership that can get this thing passed, even though it has nothing to do with them or their constituents.
I guess that's part of the motivation for being in leadership, even though you have nothing to do with some of these bills or some of the stuff that may affect your state. Because, you know, we always hear politicians say, I'm gonna bring it to my state. You're supposed to represent your state and try and do things for it. I get that. But when it has nothing to do with your state, follow the money and you'll see the reasons why it is. It ends up not having anything to do with people over and over and over again. So again, hey, maybe some of this campaign finance issues, maybe if those change, we can eliminate that problem. We can now see why they don't want to change those rules.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, there's some other people who don't want to change these rules to allow for this amendment. And it's why I'm not yet, I'm horrified at the corruption and all that. I'm not horrified at the prospect of it passing, but we'll see. You know, prepare for disappointment is a good way to approach American politics. Six Democratic senators said in a letter last week that they opposed putting these policies into the NDAA. Just spoiler alert, that doesn't mean they won't vote in favor of it though, so keep watching. You know, I didn't want it in the bill, but it will create jobs after all. We'll see. Some, I think, more principled opposition to this. Senator Jeff Merkley says, I cannot vote for a deal that cuts community nonprofits out of the environmental reviews, further burdens frontline communities with toxic fossil projects, runs a fossil gas pipeline over every existing environmental law, and rigs the court system to boot. Well, I would hope not. By the way, also, John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma have also pledged to vote no. So, based on the mental math I'm doing, it doesn't seem like this has a chance, let alone of then being passed as well in the House. But do not take anything for granted, please.
And how bad would this make Schumer look if, you know, then it fails? I mean, or do people really care? I wonder how the five people
that Schumer could say, I agree, but what Schumer could then, like, he'll pitch it, I guess, is, well, I was only putting it in there because I said that I would for Manchin. So we tried it, it didn't pass, and then we passed it without it. And he still got his $281,000. So anyway, that's what I think he'll end up saying, hopefully. By the way, long term, what Manchin will end up doing, I don't know if this is not seemingly big news, and I don't understand why. He was asked in the halls of Congress if he's going to remain a Democrat, and he said there's no certainty that he will remain a Democrat. Weird, because he's a real Democrat after all. People like Bernie, they're not real Democrats. Manchin though, serious Democrat. After all, we call him a centrist or a moderate or whatever, which means he's the real deal. He's now saying like, nah, cinema's kind of got a good deal. Maybe I'll go in that direction. So
depending on if you guys go my way or not is what it sounds like. Depends on if you guys want to do vote things a certain way. Maybe I won't be a Democrat anyway.
How bad does he want that pipeline and the continued money he's being given as a result of supporting it? Joe Biden likes to present himself as a cool guy. You know, he puts on his shades, he drives around in a little convertible. He's not gonna let anything bother him, but behind the scenes, turns out there is something that gets under his skin, and he would really prefer if you would stop talking about it. And it's the thing that nobody can avoid at this point, his age. The president has apparently, according to Politico, vented to allies about how often his age is mentioned in the press. You think I don't know how effing old I am? He said to one earlier this year. But who knows what the fates have in store for someone who just turned 80 a few weeks ago. Sorry, Mr. President, says Jonathan Martin. Such a weird tone to that article. But anyway, yes, it has been talked about a lot. It's gonna be talked about more because he is quite old for president, and he's only gonna get older as we move towards the presidency in two more years. So people are concerned about that, and just getting angry about it isn't necessarily gonna reassure them. I mean, take a look at the polls. An October survey found that 64% of Americans, including half of Democrats, said they were concerned about Biden's mental health after, you probably recall this incident when he tried to recognize Representative Jackie Walorski at an event. She had already died in a car accident weeks earlier. That made people question him. But bear in mind, he also has said that his age is a legitimate issue, saying, I think it's a legitimate thing to be concerned about anyone's age, including mine. And I think the best way to make the judgment is to watch me. Am I slowing up? Do I have the same pace? I'm not even entirely sure what slowing up is. I think he means slowing down. And so, yes, a little bit grammatically at least. But anyway, he says he feels closer to 50 than to 80, which could be true. Again, look, I don't think that age is the most important thing. Bernie Sanders is 212 years old, but he gets it. That's what matters. And so I think it's related to other concerns. JR, what do you think? I think you muted yourself, JR.
I didn't even do that on purpose. So this is the thing.
You gotta get that on a shirt now.
Everyone is living their own one life, right? So when you're 80 years old, I'm sure you still feel like you're 25 mentally or just in that same body. You're the same person you were when you were 12. You know, it's just, it's grown. So there's no way you think you embrace this whole old age thing and that's just who I am. I'm sure some people do, but in Biden's case, he doesn't. The difference is once you then compare yourselves to other people, maybe doing the same thing, it's not always the same. Not saying he's slowed up or not saying that he can't do anything, because I hate that argument as well. There's plenty of folks can do as they age. There's no problem with that. But I love playing basketball, played basketball all the time. In college, I would go and play basketball in the rec center after having a long night out with countless numbers of beers and alcoholic drinks. I was good. You know who can't do that anymore? This guy, I can't do it anymore. I still feel the same way. I still wake up in the morning and be like, let's go ball. And you know what my knees and my back say? Hell no, bro. Hell no. Yep. Or you're only gonna play three games, bro. You're not gonna play the normal 12 that you used to. Things like that happen.
Yep.
Once you start feeling it and understand it, then you go, well, maybe I can cut back a little bit. And that's just the argument that's happening. I get the potential, I guess, disrespect that it feels like you're getting from people telling you rather than you telling yourself, hey, bro, I don't think you can do this as long anymore. I get it, but you have to understand where they're coming from. So you can try, but if the comparison starts catching up with you and then someone outdoes you, that's just reality. Sorry. They say in pro athletes, in pro sports, back to the sports thing, Father Time is undefeated. Everybody that plays any sports would have loved to have played forever.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember back in grad school, there were periods where I was playing volleyball 4 or 5 times a week. I can't do that anymore. But at the same time, like Biden, I guess, like right now, do I feel different than I did 15 years ago? No, I feel like the same person. I guess clearly I'm not. I mean, look at me and listen to me. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I've fallen, I've dropped multiple steps. I'm slowing up at a rapid pace. Or as someone acknowledged in the chat, like when Trump said that COVID cases were gonna skyrocket downwards, I'm skyrocketing downwards metaphorically, physically, psychologically, spiritually too. Let's be real. So anyway, age is not the most important thing. I don't think that people should just be throwing around, you know, like attacks against people for being older. But we know that Biden isn't exactly the same as he was in terms of his ability to campaign, his ability to be forceful and all that. And then there's the related thing of, does he get what he needs to be doing in terms of his job? And I think that it's very reasonable for people to have concerns about that. So you can get mad if you want to, you can complain to members of the press, but that's not how you're gonna reassure people. Give us more Dark Brandon, how about that? Do some good things if you wanna reassure us rather than complaints. Now, let's turn to a related issue. I don't know if I'm ready for the 2024 presidential election. It's consequential, and I certainly care what happens in it. And I know we've already started talking about it, but I'm also fine letting it just develop at its own pace. That seems like how everyone should be treating it now. It is, after all, 2 years away, but no, I've already seen it referred to in, I think it was Politico, as the quiet quitting election. Why? Because there's not a lot of campaigning going on between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, which Trump shouldn't have even announced yet, okay? And Biden hasn't announced yet. He hasn't actually said if he's going to run for re-election. Now, true, if he were to say that, then he would have to trigger FEC rules. He'd have to file like formal paperwork and it would change fundraising and all that. That's true. But it's also, I think, true that it isn't necessarily guaranteed that he will or not. And so, no, he's not gonna be doing national tours yet. And what they have a bigger issue with, and I can sort of understand this, since whatever you think of Donald Trump announcing at this point, he did announce, it's that only one GOP senator has actually endorsed Trump at this point. Even people like Rick Scott, Josh Hawley, and Lindsey Graham haven't formally done that. Again, there's plenty of time, but theoretically it's a lock, right? But they're not. Okay, they're not. In the House, Kevin McCarthy won't endorse Trump just yet either. And so also, by the way, Trump hasn't done a single event since he announced. Did you know that? It's actually kind of nice. No, he hasn't done any rallies. He hasn't done any big things. He rushed out to announce, but he's not actually campaigning, which really buttresses the argument that he only did it to get out in front of investigations into him. So anyway, we have this election that's being described as quiet quitting. I would like to reassure the media, it's gonna get fired up. DeSantis is gonna announce or whatever. They're gonna start attacking each other on a daily basis. We are gonna get our fill of developments and more in short order. Be patient. What do you think,
John,
JR?
Let's keep it real. The real story behind this whole thing with Donald Trump potentially not holding any campaign events, announcing maybe to avoid any kind of indictments, criminal investigations, or then saying, you know, I'm president, I'm running for president, you can't do this, la la la, all that. The takeaway from this, I think you missed the most important thing.
What's that?
Is that I'm gonna win that bet with Cenk Uygur. Everybody keeps coming
for me. Which bet?
Everyone's coming for me. We made this bet like a year ago. I said, Donald Trump is not gonna run for re-election. He's just not gonna do it because he's gonna have too many Republicans against him. They're gonna beat him down, investigations. All this is gonna weigh on him. He's only doing it to avoid all that stuff, obviously. He can't take another loss. He just can't do it. So maybe if DeSantis eventually announces, who's Scott down in, Senator Scott down in South Carolina?
Might,
yeah, no, not Rick. The only black Republican that's in the Senate.
Oh, Tim Scott.
Tim Scott's thinking about it. All these guys are gonna get into the race. So maybe gonna get into the race, but they're waiting on Donald Trump or maybe an indictment to come, charge to come, something where they can jump in because they don't want him to run either. The support is just not there. He's gonna not run. It looks like it. It's close.
Well, I know what you don't mean that he won't announce because he's already done that. You mean he will not actually campaign in the first state. Like he won't actually still be a candidate when the first state's vote happens.
This is what I think, yeah.
Because that's running.
Yeah, that's running. I mean, look, okay. Kanye West is running too. He ran in 2020 and then ran in 2016. Then he ran in 2020.
He's been running his mouth ever since then. Yeah.
But again, I get it. He has officially filed. So that's one bigger step than Kanye ever did. I do acknowledge that. So I'm teetering here, but I'm working on it.
My guess would be that Donald Trump has thought about not running, and I think that he realizes that there would be nothing left in his life. I think that would be, I mean, look, how many years could he possibly have left in his life? This is what he has. What is he gonna spend quality time with his family? Actively engage with his businesses? Write a memoir himself? What is he gonna do? He kind of likes playing golf and having people pay attention to him. That's pretty much it at this point.
He could be a franchise owner of a McDonald's, Papa John's.
Maybe rather than just their most regular customer. I guess that's possible.
Steakhouse.
Anyway, let's turn now to this next topic because if he does run, even though JR doesn't think he will, he could be potentially important. And let's get into it. This week's release of fairly treasonous text messages being sent to Donald Trump's chief of staff had one big standout, and it was this guy, Ralph Norman, saying that the Marshall's Law needs to be invoked to stop Biden from becoming president. And bear in mind, I will remind you, he said this a week after the insurrection. He saw all of that violence and bloodshed and destruction and thought, let's do that, but more. Now, he's been criticized for this, and he does want to modify his statement. He acknowledges that he was wrong. So he texted White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows January 17th, said that Trump should declare martial law. Asked about it, he says, well, I misspelled martial. That is true, but you get it? You get the joke, America? He was revealed to have effectively called for a coup, and he made a joke about his spelling, not about the fact that he was okay with democracy ending in America. He's been fully exposed. Everyone knows exactly what he did. He doesn't care. He's got a little bit more in his own defense. He says, I was very frustrated then. I'm frustrated now. I was frustrated then by what was going on in the Capitol. President Biden was in his basement the whole year. Dominion was raising all kind of questions. Well, to be fair, no, the craziest people who can have a camera pointed at them that live streams to the internet were raising questions. Dominion just existed. But anyway, he says, I was frustrated at the time with everything that was happening. It was a private text message between a friend and myself. Nothing more, nothing less. Kind of, I guess, it was a text message between him and a friend. Or it was a text message from a representative of Congress to the chief of staff of the president. I get that you're buds, but your job still kind of matters there. You were advocating for this to happen. This wasn't like me turning to a buddy and being like, man, when's that next Ant-Man sequel gonna come out? No, your words have consequences when you were among dozens of representatives pressuring the chief of staff to tell the president that he should institute a coup. Now, there's only been this little bit of criticism of Ralph Norman and the others. It hasn't gone beyond that, which weirds me out. I don't really understand why this isn't a more serious thing, but he is brushing this aside super casually, JR.
Absolutely. And that's the only way he can approach it now, because again, we have to normalize this kind of violence and this kind of rhetoric and behavior that they are conducting themselves in. We see the violence increase. We've seen how politically they're accepting it, in fact, celebrating it. So when you get caught up with some of these text messages and you look exactly like what people have said you are and the people that surrounded Donald Trump, the only thing left is to joke about it, then say it was just a joke. We heard Marjorie Taylor Greene say that as well after her comments about how she and Bannon had actually planned January 6th. We'd have done it. We'd have won. You guys don't know what a joke is. It always goes back to that minimizing what is it they said. But if the stuff actually hit the fan the way they wanted it to, would they be going, that was just a joke, you guys? Here, come back out. No, actually, Joe Biden is the president. Were they joking then? It's the same thing keeps happening. He's talking about Dominion and everything. Dominion right now just deposed Murdoch on this $1.6 billion thing. But he's still talking about it. Because as long as you minimize it and still normalize the violence and the rhetoric that you're pushing, enough people will support you. That's really all they need is support. Who cares how illegal and anti-American this is, as they call themselves patriots? Sucks.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like it's just a joke. They still say that Biden isn't the legitimate president. Like, what are you talking about? They still say that simultaneously everyone who's locked up is great patriots, so they shouldn't have been locked up, or they're Antifa, or both. They still tell the exact same lies about it. It's not a joke. It's not a joke when you seriously want there to be a coup. Exactly. As JR said, it's not like we'd be mid-coup and they'd be like, oh no, you totally misunderstood me. No, they would be picking up an AR and gunning down their colleagues. That's what they would be doing. And they look forward to the day when they can do that in the future. But many of these people still in office. And again, we're taking like a slow stroll towards the next insurrection. Everyone was rightly freaked out for like 3 weeks after the last one. And now it's like just another political event. It's something that happened, I guess. Added to the pile of things that Donald Trump did that was scary. No, it is far more significant. Anyway, we're gonna take a break to cool down. When we come back, we're gonna touch base with TikTok, which may not be long for this world, as well as other news, so don't go anywhere. Okay, everybody, we are checking into this Truth Social thing. I already have a headache from it.
So
I don't know
ridiculous.
What's going on.
It's so
But anyway,
bad.
So we have bad. Other news. No, we're not doing that right now. We have other news to get to, and it's important. And unfortunately, we have to actually start off by talking about him. I now regret that decision. But anyway, let's talk about TikTok. Let's rewind the clock back to 2020, when Donald Trump, who, look, admittedly was used to surprising us on a daily basis, decided to drop something that I hadn't been expecting. He said, we're looking at TikTok. We may be banning TikTok. We may be doing some other things. We're looking at a lot of alternatives with respect to TikTok. And look, at that point, I wasn't a user of TikTok. I didn't understand why so many people in positions of power were weirdly obsessed with and horrified by TikTok. But Trump was talking about getting rid of it. And the weird thing is, 2 years on from those Trump statements, it's looking like a lot more politicians are agreeing with him, and they are not just MAGA people. No, actually, we've got a statement here from Senator Mark Warner, who says, as painful as it is for me to say, if Donald Trump was right and we could have taken action then, that'd have been a heck of a lot easier than trying to take action in November 2022. The sooner we bite the bullet, the better. Marco Rubio added, There is no more time to waste on meaningless negotiations with a CCP puppet company. It is time to ban Beijing controlled TikTok for good. And they have a bill. This is a bipartisan bill to effectively ban this massive social media site in the United States. They've got both a House version, Senate version. They've got Democrats and Republicans. It would ban, quote, all transactions from any social media company in or under the influence of China, Russia, and several other foreign countries of concern. They're gonna wanna make that more specific in the final thing. But anyway, if it's passed, it would ban TikTok in the United States for right now. It's called the Anti-Social CCP Act. So whenever they wanna do something like that, they have to come up with words to justify it. It's averting the national threat of internet surveillance, oppressive censorship and influence, and algorithmic learning by the Chinese Communist Party. They actually did a pretty good job with the letter, with the word choice there, but the title is obviously massive propaganda. Anyway, we're gonna get into more of this, but does this strike anyone else as crazy? I'm not saying there aren't privacy concerns or whatever, but I feel like there's gotta be a better way to address that than banning one of the most popular apps in the world. They say there are 1 billion users of TikTok, the vast majority of young people here in the US using it. And so, Jared, what do you think about this bipartisan bill?
Well, I was hearing a little bit about this, especially since other folks outside of just, you know, some of these conservatives were talking about it. I have done nothing on TikTok. I kind of have a placeholder there for myself, but I didn't know much about it, and I'm kind of glad more information is coming forward. But this is just kind of weird. The first problem I always have, and I notice this every time, and I'm glad you pointed it out. Whenever politicians introduce these bills and legislation, they have to have the acronym come out to some long thing that spells out every letter of the thing that also matches their bill, because it's so clever. It seems like a sixth grade project to me. I got to be honest. Last time I thought that way was, you know, when you're trying to name your book report something clever or smart, and you have a group project, and you're like, okay, you guys, so we're doing a story about the Midwest. So we need like a letter for MIDW. Come on, bro. Just calm down. Just say the Midwest report. It's okay. We get it. It's an anti-social bill for TikTok. Whatever. But the thing is it is intriguing to me that there's potentially some of these things that could happen, because of course, as I think what one of them pointed out, it's hard to now try and peel back whatever the issues may be. It's kind of hard to peel it back. So once you even do, what are you gonna do about the folks who are like, hell no, not following that? I'm gonna find a way around this. I'm still gonna have my TikTok. I'm still gonna do my dances. I'm still gonna shake my ass. Not that that's all that happens on TikTok, but I feel like the most rabid users might be the ones that wanna make sure they're still connected, because other parts of the world will still be using it. That's still intriguing. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's gonna be hard.
Like inevitably, I know it seems impossible, but I'm sure at some point TikTok will be eclipsed by some other app. The social construct of sitting down and quickly scrolling through little videos is very appealing right now, and maybe that'll become a permanent part of human life, but probably not. Like, I feel like if they're freaked out about this, they could probably just wait. You know, Instagram was by far the biggest thing at one point. YouTube was the biggest thing at one point. Like, these things come and go. And the other thing that comes and goes is them freaking out about stuff cyclically. Again, it's not that there isn't any worry about user data or whatever, so tread carefully. But also, don't just tread carefully on TikTok. You think you can trust Meta for your private data or whatever? I don't trust any of these companies. The fact that one is Chinese and the other is American doesn't necessarily have much bearing on how willing they are to steal your information, have it accidentally get leaked, or actively sell it to other people. So you should be worried about that for TikTok, yes, but you should also be worried about that for everything else.
Maybe the plan to get rid of TikTok is to sell it to Elon Musk and have Devin Nunes run
it. Just ruin the whole thing. Just make it terrible. Anyway, as a result of this, social media stocks were up. Meta shares, Facebook, were up more than 6%. Snap was up more than 3%. Again, not because of anything they did, but because people think maybe they'll be one of the ones that's legally allowed by the US government. That's a cool situation to be in. Anyway, with that said, let's turn from one weird little tech story to another. Disgraced former crypto billionaire Sam Bankman-Fried was charged just yesterday with multiple crimes involving steering literally tens of millions of dollars, if not far more, to federal political campaigns, denied bail following those charges, and will remain in custody. It's expected that he will be extradited at some point in the near future. So this is a pretty massive turnaround from like 6 weeks ago when he was the golden boy of finance or whatever, was a legitimate billionaire supposedly, to the extent that legitimate fits in that context. And since then, his organization has sort of fallen apart, and there's gonna be lots of additional legal ramifications of that. The money is effectively gone, and he could spend 115 years in prison, or at least is facing that. We wanna give you more information about these charges. So why don't we jump to US Attorney Damian Williams on the indictments that he's facing.
First, we charge that from 2019 until earlier this year, Bankman-Fried and his co-conspirators stole billions of dollars from FTX customers. He used that money for his personal benefit, including to make personal investments and to cover expenses and debts of his hedge fund, Alameda Research. Secondly, and relatedly, we charge that Bankman-Fried lied to Alameda's lenders about the source of the money that he was using to pay those debts. Third, we charge that earlier this year, in the midst of the crypto crisis, Bankman-Fried lied to investors in FTX about the fact that he had sent billions of dollars in FTX customer money to Alameda. And fourth, we charge that Bankman-Fried violated federal campaign finance laws by causing tens of millions of dollars in illegal campaign contributions to be made to candidates and committees associated with both Democrats and Republicans. These contributions were disguised to look like they were coming from wealthy co-conspirators, when in fact, the contributions were funded by Alameda Research with stolen customer money. And all of this dirty money was used in service of Bankman-Fried's desire to buy bipartisan influence and impact the direction of public policy in Washington.
And that's where I actually have some interest in this. Maybe it's been clear from people viewing the channel that I have not been that interested in this story. I actively avoid crypto stuff. It's just one of my biases. But that's what's so fascinating about this guy, is that he wants bipartisan influence. And that makes him exactly like basically every other wealthy individual and corporation in this country. They buy both sides, so they win no matter what, because they have the money to do it. It's the best investment out there. And you'll notice, by the way, that when the initial information about him was coming out, the right was all freaking out, like, oh God, this guy donates to Democrats. Is that why they're not doing anything about it? Elon Musk is tweeting constantly about it. And then when they said they were gonna investigate it, the right was like, but you're only doing that because we put pressure on you. And then when he was arrested, they said, well, they're only arresting him so that he won't have to testify. There's seemingly nothing you can do, including locking him up for his life, that will satisfy them. But now notice, when it turns out that, in his words, so he gives tens of millions of dollars to Democrats as well as Republicans, and says, all of my Republican donations were dark. Reporters freak the F out if you donate to a Republican because they're all super liberal. And I didn't want to have that fight, so I just made all the Republican ones dark. He thinks he was the second or third biggest Republican donor in the country this election. And all of a sudden, I'm not hearing nearly as much about the corrosive influence of Sam Bankman-Fried's money on politics. I will offer maybe a compromise. How about this? Rather than individually freaking out for brief periods of time about individual people like Sam Bankman-Fried or George Soros or whatever, how about this? How about we make it illegal for all of them to put any of their money in politics forever? And then you never have to worry about it again, people on the right. Does that seem like a possible deal, JR?
I think so, but this is the thing though. If nothing else, look at this. This is the indictment of these politicians, because this is what they want to avoid it looking like. If there's someone like this who's obviously this criminal and everyone's against him now, and he made all these donations, he went dark with Republicans because the media is all lefty, and he also did it bipartisan. The reasons why he did it that way is because he knows the way to get what you want, even if you're openly doing this criminal activity, is to buy off politicians. Isn't that an indictment of politicians? Because you think this guy is the only one to think, hey, if I pay off these politicians, they'll do and conduct legislation whichever way I want them to, until it gets busted. How many other people have done this? Countless. Yep. How many other businesses have done it? Countless. This is an indictment of the way our politicians work. If they know they're easily bought, these people who buy them, do you think no one else does?
Yeah.
They need to change it, but they won't, because they're the ones being bought.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't just stop this one guy, stop all of them, but they don't actually want to do that. Okay, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for our first hour. Thank you everyone who's been watching or listening. There's a lot more show to come in the aftermath, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.